Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. And your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. We think it's a great day for New Life.
My husband and I have been married for a year.
Is there a Christian or biblical therapy for OCD?
At that time, I'd just gotten out of jail for domestic violence. I smacked her pretty hard this last time. And
so what are you going to do?
One of the largest struggles that we face in relationships is allowing you or you to be different than me.
I'll say it this way. It is devastating in a redemptive way.
What that does is it makes you an adult responsible for the choice that you're making.
I am such a jerk and do so many crummy things and make so many. And they can vouch for it. You know, somebody show me something that makes more sense than we can't make it. Jesus did it for us.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today in the studio, Dr. Sherry Denham. Hey, Sherry.
Hello.
Always great to see you. And Mylon Yurkovich.
Hey, bud. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm really good.
Hi, bud.
Hey, how are you?
I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. It's the first time I've been with you both, and I'm kind of in between, but the first time I've been with you since I got baptized by Mylon in Israel. It's kind of fun to have us again.
We both got baptized by Mylon.
I know.
That was a great trip.
It was good.
You know what? I just saw the itinerary for next year.
Serious?
Drum roll.
Oh, my goodness. 10 days, 3 days worth of cruise, and it's, you see, Thessalonica, Patmos, the Acropolis,
Well, we have to be talking the journeys of Paul here, then.
We are.
Wow.
And it's not official. At least it's not right now. But I'm telling you, I can't wait.
Wow.
So, you know.
So fun. If it's anything like the one we just came from, you've got to start saving now. It's so worth it.
Same travel agents.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's what I told the guy. he said, what should I have done better? I said, I don't know of anything you could have done.
Yeah, they did an amazing job.
Better. Anyway, Sunday I'm preaching on the manhood of Christ. Do you have any insights in that? Last Sunday we heard about the divine, the God part, and now we're going to hear about the man part.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that? The humanity of Jesus, the manhood of Jesus?
Well, what's so hard is to realize that they were both true at the same time.
Yeah.
That he was fully God and he was fully man at the same time. But what he did, we learn from Philippians 2, is he laid aside, like a king going into battle would take off his kingly regalia so that he would look like everybody else, because it would be not strategic to be saying, hey, I'm the king.
Yeah.
And so he would look like everybody, but everybody knew who the king was on his team.
Yeah.
But he voluntarily, the Bible says, let go, and didn't think that he should cling to this concept of him being God. Let go of those things. To the point, then, that he could take on the appearance as a human being, then being tempted in all things as we are, and to go through the process of being our experiential Savior, and then our high priest who could sympathize with our weaknesses, because he felt everything we felt, yet without sin.
Right.
And he was tempted in everything. I was just reading the temptation of Christ in Luke 4 not long ago, because I'm doing my devotionals in Luke, and he's for 40 days tempted by the devil out in the desert. And we were just in the Judean wilderness. Yeah. And you realize that was no fun gig. I mean, but he was tempted in absolutely everything.
Luke could be called the gospel of the underdog, or it really focuses on the manhood more than the other gospels.
Well, John really focuses on the deity, for instance.
Yeah, or the Son of God as Savior.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think Luke describes very much the man, the experiential experience. And so he didn't give up his deity. He just laid aside the usage. And then he was dependent upon the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was dependent upon the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And it was, I was just, again, reading, and filled with the Holy Spirit, he said. And so there's just this curious, one-of-a-kind experiences that...
If you don't know this Jesus, and many, many aspects are still mystery to us, but if you don't know this Jesus, you could know Jesus, and we could help you do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Artimer here. We were just talking about the humanity of Jesus. And
I just wanted to add one thing, and it's from our Israel trip. I was one time when I just had this amazing aha moment, and the humanity of Christ was, they pointed out what it looked like when Christ was born in a manger. You know, I always think about him kind of born in this wooden trough with all this hay and, you know. Well, they didn't have a lot of wood back then, and they actually showed us what the trough looked like, and it was stone.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a hard rock that was chiseled out. And as a woman, I'm trying to picture a baby going in a stone.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no way would you want to put a baby in a cold stone.
Right.
I mean, he came to the point of letting aside his godhood to be born in a stone. And he was put in a stone, behind a stone at the end of his life and then raised up again. I just thought, look at that imagery. He was so humble. And that image has kind of set in my mind because I thought, are you kidding me? The God of this world let his body be put into a hewn out stone.
Yeah, and I believe they were accurate. And why all the little manger scenes have this little cute little wooden crib thing. And then the baby, of course, looks like he's 5 years old already, but that's another issue. But really, that the stone, the hewn stone, it really has a different image than the cute little wooden manger thing.
You got a little special manger that one of the buses gave you as a little
memory. Oh, my goodness.
Memory.
You know, I always have fun. And I was making fun of one of the buses, and they gave me I was just looking at a nativity scene, and you turn and you screw the star. You turn that, and then when you let it go, there it is, the nativity scene, integrating all of Christmas together. Jingle bells. It plays jingle bells. It's ridiculous.
Not even away in the manger.
No,
jingle bells.
Jingle
we
bells.
All hysterically laughed
we
at
did.
This.
We did.
It was the funniest thing.
It was a great payback.
Talk about missing the American. Talk about missing the American buyer.
Yeah. Well, when I played that for my wife, who has a great sense of humor, she couldn't stop laughing. Let's talk to Lisa from North Glen,
Colorado. You know who spearheaded that, buying that
who
for
was
you?
That?
Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
KRKS. Lisa, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help you today?
I have a question. I think it's mostly for Mylon.
Okay, we will just shut up and let you and Mylon go. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
I'm in the midst of his book about the one that he and Kay wrote, How We Love. And I'm about three quarters of the way through it, and I was listening to the program about a month ago, and there was a gentleman that you were speaking with, and his wife had left, and you guys came to the conclusion that she had a disconnect quite some time back, and that basically, you know, he was all bad to her. And kind of when you said that to him, something clicked inside me, and I thought, this sounds really, like, strangely familiar, and I kind of feel like I'm in that place, like I'm stuck on my spouse is all bad, and I just wanted to know, like, some ideas of how to get out of that, like, what I can do, because it seems like, I do feel like no matter what he does, I'm just still kind of thinking he's all bad, so.
Okay.
Well, that's a great question, and, you know, Lisa, you're not the only one to struggle with this problem.
Okay.
We all do. Like when I'm a baby, or let's say I'm a toddler, I'm 2 years old. My parents teach me the street is bad, the pool is bad, and the stove is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not supposed to touch those things. But by the time I'm 14 or earlier, the street's a good thing, but it has good and bad in it.
Right.
The pool's a good thing, but it has good and bad. It is mm-hmm. dangerous and fun. And the stove has both associated with them. So I have to learn to integrate good and bad as I get older, from all bad to integrating. And a lot of people don't learn how to create that integration as adults. And so we live in a world where either this is the best day in the whole world or it's all bad. And, you know, I could have the most fabulous date in the whole world with my husband, and then we have an argument and it's all ruined. So we go from this all good to this all bad thing. And so one of the things we have to do with ourselves, and there's a great section in Changes That Heal that Henry wrote, which is integrating good and bad, a section on in there. And it simply is to say, on any given day, I must guard against being all bad or all good. And I need to say something to myself like, you know, this isn't as good as I think it is right now. It's not perfect. It's not ideal. And this also isn't as bad as I think it is right now. So I have to work on learning as an adult then to integrate good and bad together. And inside me, there's good and bad. Inside Steve, Sherry, etc. Inside all of us is good and bad. And the Apostle Paul says that in Romans 7. But Steve and Sherry, what do you have to say?
Well, you could be married to somebody that, in a sense, the way they interact with you and relate, uh-huh. more bad than good. And well, so it looks like or feels all bad because there is more bad than good. More bad experiences than good experiences.
Well, what the shocker is, and Lisa, you'll have to tell me if you think this applies to you, but a lot of times we start off in a relationship and the person is purely idealized. They walk on water almost. There's no bad in them. We just think they're the best thing in the whole world. And then all of a sudden they start to do things that disappoint us, and then we take them from this idealized all good mm-hmm. place. And then we split them off and we put them all away at this all bad place. Now, do you think you started off with your husband in an all good place, Lisa?
Well, I think so, but I feel like those times are far gone and hard to remember. But
they are far gone, but do you think you started there?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the problem. You see, if we start at that place, it's easy then to fall to absolute zero or negative 100.
Yeah.
Because we started off so high. And so part of the thing that we need to do when we look at people is we need to say, as Paul did, you know, I'm ever presently aware that there's good and evil residing in me, and I'm just glad that Christ covered this and he paid for this. Sherry, what would you say about integrating good and bad?
Well, hey, Lisa. Hey, I was just thinking, because we haven't asked yet about your husband, and I'm just wanting to interject something.
Okay.
Just thinking about that when Mylan was talking about the street and the pool and the stove, it's kind of fear-based. I mean, our parents kind of breed that into us, put the fear of God into us, basically, so we don't get hurt. And a lot of times that's formed when you're growing up because of fear.
Okay.
It's a defensive way of living. You kind of live defensively. You know, like Mylan talked about, you merge into relationship quickly, idealizing somebody, but then it's all about, I got to stay safe and self-protect. So to make somebody all bad leaves you from having to look at your part of that, which is, why am I having to make somebody all bad and to be safe?
Okay.
You want to be able to own your stuff. Why do I make somebody all bad? What am I afraid mm-hmm. of? Why am I self-protecting? Does that okay. make sense? So yeah. my guess mm-hmm. about you is you probably grew up in a really chaotic home, or one that was filled with some fear. It wasn't a safe place. Am I right?
Well, no.
Okay.
No, I didn't, actually, and I think that's one thing that was confusing for me and from Mylan's book, is a lot of the examples are from people who came from really traumatic experiences or alcoholism or things like that, and I didn't. I mean, one thing my parents probably did that was bad is they never showed us conflict. If they had something to discuss, they discussed it and they came back and said, well, this is what we have decided, not your mom or your dad decided. And it wasn't abusive. My parents don't drink. I mean, we went to church on Sundays. My dad's a Sunday school teacher. My mom is a Sunday school teacher. They're
so
both still
so
married.
You came from it.
Their 40th anniversary. I mean,
Lisa,
there's like, so it's hard. You know?
Hello.
So you came from an all good place.
Yeah. See, I didn't have a hard time.
And so when
all.
Your husband is not as all good as your daddy, he feels all bad.
Yeah.
See, Satan will use anything. Satan will use a chaotic home,
right.
Or he'll use
yeah,
a perfect
true.
Home.
Yeah. And so, you know, Sherry asked a great question, because a lot of times when we struggle with these things, we start off in these difficult homes. Sometimes it's the opposite. We start off in this home where we never see conflict.
Right.
It's only a good place. I hear stories where families, whole families, protect people from bad news.
Yeah, from talking about really
talking
the stuff
about
that's happening.
The stuff that's happening.
You know?
And so it's only a good, you know, environment.
And they don't learn how to work through conflict. They don't
right.
learn how to welcome in imperfect people, right? Mm-hmm. And they're kind of hard on themselves, too. The bad parts of them, which they might even not think they have any, but we all have bad parts.
Right.
Did I just, touch on a nerve there?
Well, no, I think I feel like I try to be very self-reflective about things and ask what my part is, because I know there's always, you're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. I mean, there's really not any in-between. And so it's like, where do I fit in that? Am I trying to be part of the solution, or am I trying to be part of the problem, or inadvertently being part of the problem and not being
well,
not
can you guys it. Give her a three-point plan?
Yes.
Okay. I think that would be helpful for her.
Number one, say to yourself every day, things are not as good as I think they are, and things
or
are not
bad.
As bad as I think they are. Don't
okay.
let yourself go to the extremes. Number two, every time you ruminate on negative, you create a deeper imprint in your brain. It's like soft clay, metaphorically speaking. You just create a deeper groove every time you ruminate. And the Bible says we're supposed to dwell on whatever is honorable and lovely and anything worthy of praise. Let your mind dwell on these things. And the God of peace shall be with you. So sometimes one of the reasons we go to this all bad place is we're always stuck ruminating on the bad. And so it reinforces that bad circuitry in our head. And the third thing is that you look at yourself in the mirror every day and say, I am good and bad. And then every time you see your husband, you even say aloud, you're good and bad, you are good and bad, you are good and bad. And when we say things out of our mouth and put them back into our ears, it reformats our brain in a slightly different way than that little hamster wheel that spins.
Okay. I would like to add two things to this.
Oh, I'd like to add one, too.
Well, then that would be a total of six.
I know.
Okay, we'll
lots of things. Okay, so this is what I'm asking you. I want to have you take what Mylan just said and make it real. You go to your husband and you say, honey, I know that you get on my nerves sometimes, and I don't treat you the way that I want to treat you.
Okay.
I want to know from you, what are the parts of me that really bug you? And I want you just to hold. I actually want you to have a piece of paper, and I want you to write them down.
Okay.
It's not a time to defend. It's not
it's
a time to, you know, do anything other than you're taking him in, you're believing him, you're hearing him, and you will reflect on that. And then
validate
I want
it.
I'm sorry?
Just validate it, basically.
Well, not only
yes.
validate it, but I'm going to ask you to take it a step further. I want you to own it. I'm going to have you own parts of that that are yours. It's really like looking at it and realizing that, you know, we all have those parts that are broken.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, what are your two
things?
Okay,
my two things. When you're looking in the mirror, you say to yourself, you know what? What I saw in my parents' relationship wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I mean by that is, you saw them, and they talked, and those were real words, but you didn't see, they didn't let you see the conflict.
Right.
And so the impression that you had was not realistic as to what relationships are like. And then you say, just because he is not like the image I saw in my dad, doesn't mean he's all bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You tell yourself that, and you make that your focus, because I really think there's a lot of father comparison here that really shuts you down. But I'm going to send you walking into walls, because in there is a wall of disconnection and isolation, and you can get beyond that wall.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. All right. Well, I thank you for your five-step plan.
Okay.
I'll put it
through. All right. Well, God bless you, and I'm so glad that you called and asked the question. I'll send you Walking into Walls. What else do we want to send her? She's got How We Love.
I think that's great.
Okay. I think the chapter in the book you talked about, Healing is a Choice, would be a great...
Yeah, Integrating Good and Bad. Let's center Healing is a Choice. And there's a section that has three chapters on how is it that we integrate good and bad.
You mean changes that heal.
What did I say?
Healing is a choice.
Well, that book's high on my radar, too.
Yeah.
Changes that heal.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Did you know that it only takes 4 people signing up for Club New Life every day for us to hit our goal of 1,000? We're way over 500 already. But you could be one of the 4 we need today, and it's just $30 a month. It really changes everything for us here at New Life. Would you come be a part of 5,000, almost 5,000 other people from Club New Life? We'll send you a CD every month, discounts, gatherings. You're part of the giving family. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And, of course, if you're seeing our program is all bad right now, we understand. But maybe you could learn how to not do that if you get a copy of Mylan's book, How We Love. It's really good, and it addresses it all through there of seeing each other in our differences, accepting it, learning to work with it, and trying not to make the most of our own defects, but trying to understand them and live with them. That's How We Love. Let's talk to Sarah from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi there. Thanks for calling us back. I know you held on the other day, and appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you.
How could we help today?
Well, my question is, I was thinking about writing my husband a letter.
Okay.
And to confront him about an issue. And just the next decision I had to make was, should I just let him read it, or should I sit there and read it to him? And the reason I want to write the letter is because when I've confronted him with things in the past, it just usually doesn't go too well.
All right, so what would you say in this here letter?
Excuse me?
What would you say in the letter?
Well, I wanted to confront him because he has a long drug history,
mm-hmm.
and which we've addressed different times through the years, but I had just... found a vial of Viagra that he had hidden, and I know that he's not using it for me.
Okay, so you guys have a severe, severe connection problem.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I would think that the most productive letter would be, honey, we are so disconnected. I miss us. We had something. And I would love for us to do something to get our connection back. Rather than be the mom and I found your hidden stash and I know what you're doing. I just think the issue is connection. And if you guys get reconnected, then you can talk about that, and probably there wouldn't be a need for that. What do you guys think?
Is he still using, I guess, right now? Is he still using, Sarah?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Using drugs?
And I think the Viagra is more pornography.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I got that part, but I didn't realize he was still using drugs. So that you should really work on that issue, not enabling his drug addiction.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, addicts will have not just one addiction going on, but it'll be layered. And so if he's still active in his drug addiction, it's not uncommon that they may also have a problem with pornography.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding is that when there's men who struggle with pornography can have erectile dysfunction. You know, I mean, there's ED, there's other complications. So he might be feeling that, you know, there might be ramifications because it's really something that isn't being treated. His drug addiction isn't being treated. Maybe his sex addiction isn't being treated. What are you doing to get him and yourself into recovery for that?
Well, I'm not doing anything with him right now. Basically, well, I've gotten him to agree to go to church with me. So he goes every other week, just hoping, you know, that the Word of God would draw him to the Lord in that way. And, of course, a lot of prayer.
So are you expecting that going to church is going to stop his addiction? Is that what you're saying? That's what you're hoping for?
Yeah, I'm hoping if he's born again, it will.
Well, I know a lot of born-again addicts and alcoholics.
Yeah, that's true, I know.
Yeah. So a better way, but it would take more courage than that, would be, okay, it's time for you to get the addiction taken care of. It's ripping us apart. And it's not just staying with the drugs. It's moving over into pornography. If you care about us, you need to get some help. Mylon, what are you thinking about this guy's got two addictions.
Sarah, this is going to sound like a personal question, but are you guys having sex on any kind of regular basis?
Not regularly, and only if I ask.
Okay. It could be, linking all these conversations together here, that if he has a pornography addiction and he also has a drug addiction, what happens oftentimes is men do have performance problems when they get into a room with a real person. And so the Viagra may be for you. He's not telling you because, like Steve said, we have a distance problem. We have a gap in our relationship. But I've seen a lot of men who have a very difficult time performing with a real person because a real person is frightening, unpredictable. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to deal with that in comparison to a fantasy. So your conclusions about the Viagra may be incorrect. That's all I'm trying to say here. But I love Steve's point of we need to start with a letter of appeal saying, I miss you. I love you. And, you know, I wish we could have what we had once upon a time. If you didn't have something once upon a time, you start with, I'd like to have something new, but mm-hmm. I miss you. I still would like to have a relationship with you.
Yeah. I think, given his response to you before, I think the letter is a good idea.
It's a great idea. And then go to Al-Anon.
Yeah, I was thinking
You need to get your act together here.
And I'd love to have her come to Women in the Battle.
Please do.
Sarah, we'd love to have you come to Women in the Battle because I have to be honest with you, I'm hearing some denial over how serious this is. And we want to help you. You know, walk into that and feel connected. So we'd love to get you on board there.
All right. We'll take a break and come right back. I'm going to send her walking into walls. It's got that wall of disconnection. And what else should we send? Well, we'll figure it out after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Let's go to Tina, calling from Baltimore, Maryland. WRBS is the station. Hello, Tina.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had listened a few days ago, and you had spoken to someone who had called in with PTSD. And I think Dr. Denham was talking about EMDR and telling her that she needed to connect her head and her heart. But then you went right to the EMDR, and I was just wondering if there might be some more practical steps that you could talk about connecting the head and the heart and talking about disconnected, like as you did with the last caller, the self-worth component also. I'm just really struggling with that.
Well, there's a lot of letters thrown around there. You know, all
know,
of a sudden we got PTSD and EMDR. So,
yeah.
Sherry, why don't you go back and clarify those so that the listener, if they didn't hear that call, they can figure out what's going on.
Yeah. Hey, Tina. PTSD stands for post-traumatic stress disorder. So it comes from folks that have grown up and had trauma in their early childhood or adulthood. And that trauma has not been treated. And so it ends up becoming a problem in their life. They have anxiety, depression, kind of thinking negative thoughts over and over again. Those type of symptoms. Detached, you know, they kind of have a lot of fear and negative thoughts. EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's just a form of treatment that's specified for PTSD.
And so, the theory behind it is what?
Basically, the theory behind it is helping to connect the heart, you know, and the thoughts together. When I work with people who have trauma, trauma gets wired in at an emotional level, okay, a heart level, a feeling level. There's feelings attached to it, and there's also some beliefs that get attached to that trauma, which is our head, our thinking. And so there's kind of a divorce that happens between our head and our heart. I don't even think it's a divorce. It's kind of it gets fused negatively. So the feeling might be fear, but the negative belief might be, I can't trust anyone.
So how does that rapid eye movement, what's the theory of how that works to help a person?
Yeah, I tell people that basically the eye movement connects the left and right brain. they don't really know how it works exactly, other than it uses REM, rapid eye movement, three other letters, which is how we process things through the day. So it uses that, and it connects the left brain and the right brain. The left brain is our thoughtful brain. The right brain is more of an emotional brain. I know Mylan and Kay often talk about the right brain being the emotional, like the stampede of cattle. We have this feeling, and it just gets moved into motion, and you can't stop the herd. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when we've had hurts in our life, that emotional cattle get going, and then we get stuck.
So one of the cool things about it is, We fall asleep, we have rapid eye movement. Now, who invented rapid eye movement when we sleep? Well, God did.
Jesus.
Yeah. See, we it's just something he did. Now, therefore, he knows that somehow that rapid eye movement helps integrate the left and the right brain during sleep.
Yeah.
And our mind does what it does while it's sleeping. And so what EMDR has found, that you're saying, Sherry, yeah, is by tracking with your eyes back and forth as a person processes pain, it helps to link these two sides of the brain together. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So, like, I have somebody come in and they've had, you know, Mylan talks a lot about attachment. Their book, How We Love, is attachment. So I'll use something like that. Let's say someone grew up in a very painful situation and maybe mom or dad left at four. Mm-hmm. So we look at a list of beliefs, and oftentimes they'll pick, like, I can't trust anyone. That's the negative belief, mm-hmm, that got wired in. Mm-hmm. But it got wired in at a heart level. So they struggle with relationships
no
with their husband.
No matter what they know.
Yep, it's not about it. I have a lot of believers that come into my practice, and they're like, Sherry, if I could just take the truth and apply it to my life and be healed, I would be happy. I wouldn't even be here. But because it got wired in at a heart level, it gets stuck at a heart level.
Is EMDR the only way to do that?
No, it's just one way. You know, some of it can be done by, you know, actually sitting down with somebody and getting them through talk therapy or a pastor or somebody getting into the emotion of that event. And so often we stay in our heads. If we've been hurt, it takes quite a while for us to get our emotions involved in that story. Because you can probably tell your story and kind of just like tell it like you would a news report or, you know, a lot of people get to that point where they just tell it. But you've got to kind of get your emotions involved as well to help move you forward. So my goal is to get somebody from I don't trust anyone to the new belief is I can choose whom to trust. Mm-hmm. I can choose whom to trust. And at a heart level, I help to get them there. And EMDR is just one way. So where are you stuck?
Oh, golly, I'm stuck at just numb, as you said. I don't even know how to feel feelings. Then when I do I have a glimmer of them, I immediately stuff them.
Yeah, and you're not alone, Tina. You know, and what that tells me is you kind of try to control it or keep it all underneath. Keep all those all those memories, I call them traumatic memories that are stored. I tell people like they're in Tupperware containers. You know, we kind of store those traumatic memories. And we want to stick them in our refrigerator, you know, thinking that they're going to go away there. But they just get moldy. They just get worse. They kind of start leaking.
And when they leak out, the body remembers, though.
It does.
And
you're
so
right, Mylan.
And so the body begins to feel feelings of pressure of this leaking out of these contained stuffed feelings.
Yeah.
And so we develop, you know, various diseases, you know, we develop, you know, ulcers, colitis, we develop all these, you know, migraines. I know people that have horrible headaches. I know people that feel that the immune system is compromised through all this pressure.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Everything.
Yep. A lot of my peeps come in and they got a lot of body stuff going on. Well, God made us to not store this stuff.
Right.
We weren't meant to be like storage containers. Right. But he did give us this way of holding that while the pain was happening so we could survive through it.
So I make my body a toxic waste dump if I hold this all in and I get contaminated and I've got to clean it out.
That's a good picture.
Here's how I wrote about it. I said, what you've done is you've built a wall, and that wall is, I can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Now, if you can go over, around, through, or tear down that wall, you can then establish a healthy boundary that says, you know what, I'm not 5 years old, I'm not 10 years old, I am a woman, and I have the ability to choose who I will trust. And I'm going to set a boundary that if certain people do certain things, lie to me one time, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
If you can't be truthful to me, given my wound, then you can't be in my life. So now I'm moving forward and I'm open to people being in my life versus the wall that lets nobody in because I've stated and lived the life of nobody can be trusted.
That's different.
Now, Steve,
it is different, isn't
Steve,
it?
Steve, do you think then for Tina that the wall for Tina is fear because she says, if I just am numb, and if I feel these feelings start to come up, I just want to push them down really fast. Do you think that wall could
be
fear?
I think her wall, if I could just be analogy prone, I think the fear is the plaster that keeps that wall together.
Mm.
And you, if she would deal with the fear, then the thing would come tumbling down. The thing that connects it together would go away. And she'd be able to knock down that I can't trust business people, can't trust family, can't trust men, can't trust other women. All those blocks would fall.
So this numbness comes for a reason, Tina. You see, this numbness is because somebody hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And that pain, the only thing you could do with that as a child is make it go away, block it out. And it that may have served you well as a child, you see.
Yeah, it did.
The shame of that, I think, and pain leads her to the numbness. But
as an adult, it doesn't serve her well.
Well, it could still keep her numb, but where it breaks down is if I'm avoiding the pain and the suffering because I put myself in this numb state, I also don't get to experience the upside.
Which is comfort.
Joy. Laughter.
Yeah. I really do feel like I'm like walking dead.
Because you've
really
numbed
here, you know?
Your life. You've withdrawn from the world out of fear, and we can help you get back.
Now, I have people get so mad at me in my office. You know why, Tina?
Tell me.
Because I make them walk back into that place of pain as an adult. And I'm with them. And they reface that pain from an adult perspective and realize it doesn't have to hold them victim for an entire life. We have to go back to the pain.
I wouldn't mind doing that if I thought that God was with me, but I feel like he wasn't with me the first time, and so I'm not willing to go there.
He was with you.
Okay. That's a great question.
I'll tell you what, when we come back, we'll give you a verse that shows you that God was with you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Listening to New Life Live, or watching New Life Live on television. Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. Steve Arterburn here. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more of this program. You can join us at 1-800-229-3000. Or if you need some help, it's 1-800-639-5433 or 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, Tina, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I told you I'd have the verse. I got to look for it, but here's what it says. It says that if anybody touches a small child, their angels are in the presence of God, making sure God does not miss what's happening. And, of course, it says that anybody doing anything to one of these little ones, you might as well just take a concrete block, tie it to your neck, and throw it in the river with you attached to it. So God knew. Now, God never promises to prevent evil, but he does promise to help you wipe away your tears.
And sometimes what happens, Tina, when we've been hurt, and I deal a lot with this with folks that have been traumatized, is not only do they believe that I cannot trust anyone, but it bleeds over into their relationship with God. That, well, I can't even trust him. Why didn't he stop this heinous thing from happening?
Exactly.
And so what happens is...
I think I'm valuable. Like, what? I must have been disposable.
Yeah.
I mean, what you were talking about with the other person, the head and the heart, like, it slips through my fingers. Like, I feel like I can read the word. I can read it. And I do, but I can't hold on to it. It's like squeezing jello. It just goes right through my fingers.
Yeah. So well put.
It really is. And so, and part of that is because you've got a belief system that has holes in it. And I'm going to speak truth to you right now. What I see in my work is that we have an enemy that's alive and well, and he finds those holes and he sticks his little crooked fingers in there and he rides it like a bull.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to believe that God's heart isn't good. That's the enemy's like, all good, you know, checkmate. I've accomplished my goal for the day. But it's really a lie about God, because what Steve just shared with you is truth. Sin entered to this world, and because of free will, stuff's going to happen. And we want to control God. We kind of take it personal that sin happens, and we want to control God to say, well, yeah, let sin happen, but just don't let it to happen to me. And when it does happen to us, we get mad at God instead of an enemy who's very alive and well and comes to rob, steal, and destroy. And he wants to take you out, my friend.
Mm-hmm. If we had stayed in the garden, it wouldn't have happened. But
it's true.
When Adam and Eve sinned, we left the garden. And that's why evil stuff happens. We have free choice, and sometimes people use their free choice to hurt you. And that's what happened. It wasn't God. It was the free choice that he gave.
So actually, by making contact with us today, Tina, and risking a little bit and having this conversation, you have attempted to risk with people. And you've let us have contact with your life. And you've shared a little bit of your life with us. And let's say you grow just a little tiny bit inside. That will even affect your ability to perceive God in the same way that you perceive us right now. In other words, our horizontal growth of people translates into how we vertically relate to God and how we see him, because we go, oh, I like Steve's voice, and he was really insightful. He was encouraging to me. And all of a sudden, next time I pray, a little bit of Steve's voice right there will be in your brain. And you'll be able to relate to God and accept, both tell him what you want and accept back from him what it is he's trying to tell you, that he loves you very much.
Okay.
So every time we extend into people, and you're in Baltimore, and there's a lot of great Christians in the East Coast, and you know, if you extend into other people and you risk just a little bit, support group, you know, where you sit down and you go, you know, I just don't feel like God. Everything slips through my fingers like jello.
Yeah.
And the other person goes, I do too, but I remember you. I remember your name's Tina. You're from Baltimore. And then that sinks in just a little bit more, and we get this good stuff that gets put into us bit by bit, bite by bite, And then pretty soon we're stronger later, and we view people, ourselves, and God differently.
Sometimes in my work, I do what's called healing prayer, I actually invite the Lord to come in. I invite Jesus to come in to that place where you were really wounded. And what that does, and I just thank the Lord that it works. You know, I mean, he so honors that place of humility. And when I just sit down with someone and say, Lord, will you come into this? And somehow the Lord just interjects an image or pictures. And it's lovely because that kind of moves someone emotionally to remember, wow, I remember that Jesus came for me. And I said, well, how did you see him? And they're like, well, he was holding me. And they kind of tell a new dialogue about how Jesus came into that place. Steve has something he wanted to share.
Okay, I did find the verse, and it's Matthew 18:10. And it says, beware that you don't harm any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my Heavenly Father. So there is a wonderful verse to assure you that Jesus did not miss this. God did not miss. He was there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Overwhelmed.
Okay.
But in a good way.
Yeah. And good. See, there's the emotion right there. Now install what Steve told you. Take that scripture. Bind it to your heart.
God knew. God knew. He never promised to stop or prevent, but he knew. And let the vengeance be his, because he was not happy with people that touched children. Okay?
Now, by crying, that means you let us into your life, Tina.
And I've got to do something different. So
by letting us in, you're letting that healing journey begin. Thanks for letting us be a part of that.
Yeah.
I'm so, so grateful for you and for your ministry.
Hey, will you keep doing the work? Yeah. Get in with one of our Christian counselors and keep doing the work, because you're fertile soil right there right now.
You are on your way. I'm going to send you walking into walls. I think it's going to really help you, because there's a wonderful chapter on moving forward into the future. First, you get unstuck, and then you move forward in the future. I think you're going
to
like that.
I sure would love to see Tina at a New Life Weekend sometime next year,
Tina,
or whenever this fall.
Let us talk
to
you about that. That would be great. The only way that Tina could come to a New Life Weekend is if you support this ministry. We have so many things that we want to make people aware of, like our weekends, like Women in the Battle. Who should come to that?
Women who are in relationships with someone who's struggling with pornography, affairs, any kind of sexual situations where they're feeling stuck and hurt and by those relationships come. We want to help you get empowered to know how to rise up as women and battle well, how to get connected with other allies and healing so that you're not alone. There's things we can do to help you, and that weekend is all about empowering you and helping you find your voice, your heart, and getting back on track.
So I know there are many women there who need that weekend, and there are many women listening that want to support something that does exactly that for women. And either call us for that workshop, or call us because you want to support women being empowered to do something or heal from their situation. You can support us by going to the website. It's a new website. It's newlife.com. There are great, great videos. The other day I talked about a video on bullying that you ought to just go to newlife.com, pull that video up, and show it to your children. It really can be helpful. But numerous videos there that could be of assistance to you in raising your kids or growing closer to your husband or your wife. But please help us at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-639-5433. Thank you in advance for supporting us financially. And for those of you who pray for us, thank you. We can never, ever receive enough prayer. My thanks to Terry McIntosh, our producer. My thanks to Mylon Yurkovich and to Sherry Denham and all of you. God bless you. Have a great day today. This is a great day to do the next right thing. See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries,
P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.